1989. It was my first Easter as a Christian. I went down to a town, and I was in the pedestrianized shopping area. There was a troop of thespians acting out the Passion of Jesus Christ. As they did so, hundreds and hundreds of shoppers were kind of weaving their way through this large crowd of actors. Some of the shoppers, mildly inquisitive, stopped to find out what was going on. One or two, I think, just stopped to watch, and I certainly stopped to watch. And as the crowd of actors shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," I was standing as a young Christian. I was feeling the full intensity of my own sin, even though I'd been forgiven some 6 or 7 months earlier, whatever it was. I was feeling convicted. And it was, you know, the hymn, "It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished." And the man playing the role of Jesus was not a Christian. He was not a religious man either. He was just an actor called Ken. But sometime later, Ken told a friend of mine, who was one of the actors, Ken told my friend, he said, "You know, in the crowd, I saw Alan Rees. He was staring at me. And how he picked me out of the hundreds and hundreds of people there, I don't know, but I was staring because I was in it. I was so captivated by the fact that this was exactly how it was, and died he for me who caused his pain." Here was I, deeply affected. Here were many other shoppers just ambling through saying, "What's going on? I don't know." And then as Ken dragged the cross, probably about 150 yards, I reckon, down this pedestrianized street, I heard an old lady who was a chapel goer. I heard her say, "Treni," Welsh, "pity, poor dab, you know. There's a shame. Look what they're doing to that nice man," that kind of thing. "It's awful." And here in Luke 23, we get the similar kind of thing. Here's Jesus, he's on the way to the cross. Last week we saw Simon and Cyrene was dragged out of the crowd to carry the cross because Jesus couldn't cope, he was too weak. And some women, just like that religious lady, "Treni, oh, poor dab, oh, it's a shame. Oh, look what they're doing to that nice little man." You know, they start to weep, and Jesus says, "No, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. Weep for yourselves." And there's my title, "Weep for yourselves." Jesus doesn't want their pity. He doesn't want your pity. He wants your trust. He doesn't want your pity. He wants you. That's the difference. Religion, yes, people feel sorry. Oh, wasn't it awful? It was worse than awful. It was horrendous. And it was your fault. As we saw in the kid's story, Peter preaches, you murdered the author of life. You killed the Son of God. See, Jesus didn't just want people in the crowd there to talk about it afterwards, like people do. "Guess what happened today? Oh, there was this nice man. Oh," and they beat him up something terrible, and then they nailed him to a cross. Because he's doing it for them. He's doing it for you. "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Nobody takes it from me," says Jesus. "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your guilt." Have you ever done that? Ever seen your guilt? Ever felt the shame of your sin? You know, successive governments in our country still consider knife crime or drugs or whatever to be soluble through education. That's their only strategy for the last 40 years, I think. They consider that the main reason that people are criminals is because either they're poor or they're uneducated or both. That's basically the thinking in the government. And then I read last week that every MP has their own special official credit card, House of Commons credit card, which they can use for official business. And then I read, in the last 4 years, the number of MPs who've had their credit cards frozen because of misconduct. It's very interesting. 377. But these people are not poor or uneducated. They're sinners. That's what they are. Whether they're poor or uneducated or not, these are our lawmakers, and we can't trust them. But the question is, are you significantly better than the MPs we can't trust? Are you? You put yourself in their position. Hey, everybody else is doing it, and we're important. We're important. We've been elected in. People think we are some the cat's whiskers. You can bend the rules. Think about yourself. Are you any better? I read just last week a guy who had been an advisor to Bill Clinton in the White House. He'd worked for the United Nations. In fact, he was the head of the development program for the United Nations. And he said this: I used to think the top problems in the world were biodiversity, ecosystems, and climate change. And I thought with 30 years of good science, we could address those problems. I was wrong. The top problems in the world are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with those, we need a spiritual and cultural transformation. And we scientists don't know how to do that. Here's a guy who's seeing it. He's seeing the problem with plastics or whatever it is. It's not actually the plastics or education. It's us. Again, have you seen what you are? I'm not bad enough for hell, a bloke told me last Sunday talking over the field there. How many people think like that? Some of you. You don't think you're bad enough for hell. Some of you say you're Christians. You still don't think you're bad enough for hell, though. Or you've told a few white lies, a few fibs, betrayed a trust here and there, but basically you still think you're a pretty nice person. I remember a Bible exhibition we did in the local schools, and hundreds of kids came round with their teachers, and on one particular occasion, all the kids went moved on to another kind of stand in this exhibition. There was just a teacher left and me, and I thought, here's my chance to speak to her. I'd seen her hundreds of times before, and I said to her, what do you believe in? Oh, I believe in Jesus and the Bible and God, you know. So, and I'm a church member. So I said, if I'm on the gates of heaven when you die, I won't be, but if I was, why should I let you in? And she said, well, I can give you a very good reason. I've been pretty good. How will I get on? I said, I can tell you with 100% certainty, you have absolutely no chance of getting into heaven. And suddenly this nice lady was furious with me. How dare you tell me I'm not good enough? I said, I'm not giving my opinion. I'm telling you what the Bible says, what God says. All have sinned, no good. None of us are good. Not one is good. I watched a documentary recently, leading doctors talking about the lack of new drugs in a certain medical field. And this is what the doctor said. Look, the pharmaceutical companies pour time and effort and cash into the research that will bring them the biggest profit. Of course they do. We would be the same. That's the trouble, isn't it? So the doctor was saying there's hardly any effort to find new drugs in this field because there's no money in it. That's what they're saying. Would you be any better? You wouldn't be any better, would you? I remember trading my old car in years ago. 170 quid he gave me. And he asked me, he said, what sort of car is it? I said, it really did look terrible. I'd painted it with gloss for a start. Didn't really look nice. But I said, it's reliable. I tell you, it starts every day, I said, you know. Anyway, so he gave me 170 quid off the new car, well, newer car I was buying. And then as I was ready to drive away the new one, he said, look, I've given you the money, I've got the car, be honest. What's it like, the car you've given me? And I said, it is reliable. And he was shocked. Why was he shocked? Because he was expecting me to have lied. Why? Because that's what he would have done. You any better? Isaiah said, the whole nation's infected from the top of their heads to the sole of their feet. All have lost the plot. All have lost their way. All have sinned. Have you seen it? Have you seen that? Have you? When you see it, first of all, you never again think you have a right to be happy or to have friends or to be healthy or anything else. you'll see what you are. And you'll marvel how blessed you are. And the second thing, you'll take all your sins. As the old Puritan said, I took all my good deeds, I took all my bad deeds, and I dumped them all at the cross. You see, Jesus is going down that road to Golgotha, bloodied and broken, and it is your fault. It's your fault. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Have we come that far? I saw an interview with a guy who was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. He'd been in military intelligence in Bosnia in the 90s. He'd seen some terrible atrocities that he was unable to do anything about. And he couldn't cope. He'd witnessed evil and was powerless to do anything about it. I understand that. But I'm asking you, what about the evil, not that you've seen, that you couldn't do anything about, what about the evil in your own heart? You have a tremendous talent for sinning. You know, some of us have got obvious gifts in, you know, singing or playing an instrument or speaking or telling stories or whatever it is. But we all got a tremendous talent for sinning. We all immensely gifted. I read yesterday in Jeremiah chapter 5 where the Lord says about their sin, should I not punish you for this? And then he asks this vital question, why should I forgive you? That's, you know, why should God forgive you and me? Weep for yourselves, Jesus says. He's going to Golgotha because you and me, we're on the broad road to destruction, and everybody else just about we meet is on the broad road, and everybody in Hello magazine and on TV just about is on the broad road to destruction. But of course, we don't think we are. We think we're better than that. Better than some. Better than most, even, don't we? A man kills himself, apparently, because he was humiliated on the Jeremy Kyle show. I don't know the details. Couldn't cope with the humiliation, so the story went. If you continue to keep Jesus at arm's length, you will know humiliation on a scale we cannot calculate. Eternal humiliation. That's why Jesus says, weep for yourselves. This is why he came in the first place. This is why he came, to save us from ourselves, from the wrath of God. To pay the price for your sins, if you let him. Will you let him? Amen. Well, let's sing. Maybe for the first time you can say, now, here I am, Lord, to worship you.